Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 14th of October 2024. It is a Monday. That means we speak personal finance, and that is something that we enjoy doing every single Monday, and I hope that you also do enjoy it. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you. Like to hear from you on +27 73 470 3520. That is a +27 73 470 3520. Today, or this evening, we're talking about age-related financial goals and priorities there. And I want to just add the emphasis on priorities, because today's topic is really interesting from that, just that end on its own. What about priorities? Should we really prioritize certain things and leave certain things behind? Is that what we are supposed to do, or we are shooting ourselves, as it were, on the foot when we do that, right? Now, the question then is something that we need to really talk about. Now, while there is no fixed timeline for achieving the goals you set for yourself, it can sometimes be helpful to orientate yourself around the phases of your life. Buy a car at 25, for example, or owning your own home at 30. What about lobola negotiations by 35, etc., etc.? I think we put too much pressure on ourselves. This is just me. And I might be wrong, but I think unnecessary pressure at times, right? And it can be, I suppose, detrimental at some point. So what should we do? And we are joined by Evangile Makwakwa, who is joining us, not for the first time, but a friend of the show, and we really appreciate her time. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Ah, we're doing very, very well. And how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
I've never heard you sigh before, so I'm really, really, really thinking to myself, something is wrong. I've never heard you sigh like that.
Oh no, Tabelo, sorry. I'm just, I come from a walk on the beach.
Look at that.
A little discouraged.
Look at that.
It was funny.
Okay.
And then suddenly it became wintry. Like, I feel like summer is just not coming. I know this is not the biggest problem in the world,
yes,
but anyone that knows me knows my obsession with summer. So I'm like feeling a little sad.
Sorry about that. You know what? We'll be sending you flowers very soon, because how? A walk on the beach should be like the nicest thing ever, right?
It was. It was a really, really good walk.
Yeah.
But then it just got cloudy. Cape Town, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And other people are out here telling me it's sunny in Joburg. I'm just like, wow, okay.
We are averaging 30-something, eh? The high 30s, by the way. So it is really, really sunny. So yeah, just do a turn at this side, because we want to do a turn somewhere in Cape Town. You must just also do a turn this side. How's about that? We trade places.
No, I can't do Josie Shem.
I need to
see the ocean. Like right now, I'm sitting on my bed and watching the
ocean. Look at that.
That's what I need.
Look at that. Yeah, nice life problems, I must say. For listeners who have never, ever heard about you or even met you, a brief about yourself.
I am a money trauma coach. Mm. I help mainly women of color heal ancestral money trauma, especially women that are highly educated and are struggling to reach a level of income that they know they can, and entrepreneurs that have been entrepreneurs for a while and they know that they can do more, or women that are earning a lot but are really struggling to save. They don't have anything to show for it, and they still find themselves living hand to mouth.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you so much for that. And your book?
Oh, yeah, I'm also the author.
Yes, yeah, we can't forget that one.
Oh, my gosh, my publisher. I keep forgetting. I am the author of What's Your Money Personality?
Yes.
Changing the Way Black Families Manage Their Finances.
Fantastic.
And actually this week, for the next 7 weeks, up until the end of November,
yeah,
every single Thursday at 6 p.m. South African time,
yes,
I am going to, the time may change. I'm still deciding, is it 6 p.m. or 6:30?
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards 6:30 at the moment.
Yeah.
I will be doing a series of masterclasses.
Yeah.
Where I am talking about the book and going in depth on it.
In depth on it. Fantastic. In fact, my plans, if God is willing, my plans is to do a 10 in Cape Town in December. So definitely I need that book. We should be doing coffee sometime when I'm there. And I want to get it signed, at least, you know, in real time. So let's have a chat about that after the show.
Definitely. I'll be around still, I think. Yeah.
Okay. No, I'll check in with you.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let me
set this. I would love to meet in person.
Definitely. Same here. I look forward to that. Now, let me set the scene here, right? There was a recent interview, in fact, a well-known athlete who was talking about how buying a house or owning a house, at least in the context of America, she believes that it's not the American dream and that one should rather do everything else with their finances and only consider buying a house once they've started or finished working on everything else, right? And we thought with our producer that maybe perhaps it's a conversation that we should have as well as Africans. And I believe she shared the video clip with you as well. Maybe let's start there. What was your sense when you first saw that?
Okay, so my first sense was that is great, but it's also, how do I put it? It's also class dependent at times.
Okay.
I know many people that have been clients of mine, and the first thing they had to do was they had to build a house at home.
Yeah.
And that wasn't optional. It's that you grew up at other people's homes.
Yeah.
You know, so you had to buy a house because your mother needs a place to stay. Your dad needs a place to stay. Your siblings need a place to stay. So some things, again, this is why I think personal finance is so personal. You know, it is a very personal thing. It's very, very dependent on your situation.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I decided to buy my own place first off because I needed to feel like I needed a place to live. But then the very next thing that I did was helped renovate my mom's house. Not because my mom needed it, but I'd watched over the years how long it was taking her to renovate it. You know, and the house wasn't falling apart by any means. I came in and I just finished a lot of the stuff, like floors, painting, things like that. And that for me was really, really important because that also created a sense of safety for me to know that my mom is in a place that is beautiful and she feels at home and she feels safe. So for most of us, because of where we come from, that may be one of the first things that we do. So it's not always optional whether or not we choose that, I don't have to buy a house.
Yeah.
Because so other people are dependent on us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sure. That's amazing. Okay. So if we were to then, I suppose, take the so-called American dream and kind of contextualize it into the African scene and maybe even closer home into the South African scene, for example. And I love the point that you're making that it depends on the class. Some people don't necessarily have a choice. Some might have a choice and all that. What would be the African dream then in this instance? Is it also, because if she's arguing that the American dream is having a house, buying all these things, what would then be the African dream?
You know, I feel like the American dream is, I think, why does the American dream translate globally?
Yeah.
Like, as someone who lived extensively for years in the US, and like, I would say, spent my formative years in adulthood.
Yeah.
The bulk of my formative years in the US.
Yes.
I would say, like, we all resonate with the American dream because it's the dream of like a house, two cars in the garage, right? A fridge, a television. Those are like, I would say, basic necessities.
Yeah.
Most of us want that. So I would say, if you look at what most graduates do when they first graduate, right? If they never ever had a house growing up, the first thing that they do is they buy a house and then they buy a car.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I think the question should be, do, it's not so much what is the dream, but it's like, what kind of houses are we buying? Because where most of us fall and fail is that we want to buy the dream house, you know, as your first house. And then your entire paycheck is going towards the mortgage, right? So what is it? So I think that's the first question, is that what kind of house do you want to buy and what kind of car do you want to buy?
Yeah.
For most of us, I would argue that with crime rates being what they are in South Africa, for young women, having a car is a form of freedom and security. You don't have to rely on other people. So having a car, when I remember when I got a car, I realized that it freed me up. It freed up so many hours for me on public transport, you know, and I never had to worry about what time events ended, all that, you know. So I think that this is all our dreams. This is why we can all resonate with the American dream. So I think the African dream is the same dream.
The same
it's just
dream.
I want to be things that make us feel safe. And that is mobility, a car, being able to not worry about having to leave work late or having to wake up super early because you don't have a car, and then a house.
Yeah.
The things that trip us up is that we want the first car to be a Mercedes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the first house to be a mansion somewhere in Stanton.
That's very true. That's definitely what we want to, that we do most of the time. And so then if our African dream, for example, is the same as the American dream, is the same as the European dream as well, I would think that they too see, you know, success in those contexts as well. To say, if I've got a house, got a car, got this, there's a certain level of freedom and all that. Is it now a question of intrinsic as opposed to extrinsic? And what I mean by that is, in setting up this African dream, are we not pressured by trying to keep up with the others as well, the so-called proverbial Kumalos this time and not the Jones?
I think that is real pressure.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people are dealing with that pressure.
Yeah.
And that's why people end up in certain financial situations. So I think that's the big thing. That's why we end up buying the cars that we can't afford, you know? I remember showing up at a friend's place. I used to own this black Corsa, and she almost fell off her chair laughing. She was like, "Van, when you say you're traveling all over South Africa and you're going to Namibia and other places, I didn't know you were using this small little car." I'm like, this car is great. It's getting me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But there definitely is that pressure, right?
Yeah.
It's that we can't, now that we've started working, we can't just buy any car. Now that you've gotten a promotion, you need to also have a car that reflects that.
Yeah.
Now that you've like, now there's all this pressure, especially for people that live in Joburg. It's something that has always fascinated me.
Yeah.
Where like people have the zip code thing now.
Yeah.
Where like, what is your zip code? How close are you to Stanton?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So things like that. And so, and yet really the dream isn't so much about how big is your house. And I think that's where also a lot of people in America are getting caught up, right?
Yeah.
Is that the American dream was just a house and two cars, right? And a washing machine and a fridge from the 60s and the 70s. And now everyone feels like the American dream isn't just a house, isn't just your little one bedroom apartment if you're starting out and you're living on your own. It's, you need 10 bedrooms, but you're one person, you're still young. So it's like, and I needed to be in the most expensive neighborhood. And I need that car that is the particular brand that makes a particular sound. That is, we add our own assumptions as to what the dream is because we are also humans. So we have our own aspirations. And this is where we need to be able to sit down with ourselves and get super honest and say, what is it that I truly want? And what is it that is in alignment with my values and not in alignment with what society tells me should be my values?
Yes. Okay. Are then financial goals that are age related necessarily a bad thing? And I'm asking in and of themselves, for example, if I say 20, you know, or let's say 21, done with my first degree, 25, I'm in my employment, whatever, 26, I'm getting married, 30, perhaps maybe middle management and all that, 35, maybe perhaps, you know, this and that and that. Would that be putting unnecessary pressure on oneself?
Of course. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Because who sets those goals?
Yeah.
Who's the one that determines that at 18 you should go to university, at 25 you should be doing this, at 40 you should be doing this? Who tells us those things? Those are other people's assumptions. Yes. People got together and then they decided this is what success looks like at every age.
And then a certain
amount of people above average, like say an above average percentage of people around the world started to follow that. And then that became the norm. And that norm has now been normalized. But that's actually not the way that the world works, because for that to happen, it has to, we have to hold the assumption that all of us have the same resources, same access to resources. We have the same life path. We have same family situations, and life doesn't work like that. Some people have to drop out of school because of extenuating circumstances. Some people have to look after sick parents that delays them, all sorts of things. So, but we have been taught that you're failing, you're failing if you do not have those things at a certain age by a certain time. But the other thing is, I always say to people, leave space for the fact that, like, there's not everything is in your control. There really is an element of things within our human existence. Actually, quite a lot of things, if you think about it, that are out of our control. So if you say you want to have a baby, that is outside of your control. Like meeting a person, and like you want to have a baby in all those things, the fact that your marriage must be good, all these things, those are sometimes out of your control. Meeting a person, the right person, to be able to do certain things. You say you want to travel once or twice a year. That means that you must have a certain kind of job that gives you a certain amount of money. All of those things, who determines that? Not all conditions will always be favorable.
That's very, very true. Okay, then what will be the flip side of it? How do we then set financial goals that become more realistic and more healthier? Do I give myself a range instead of maybe exact age? Do I say perhaps in my 20s to 30s, I want to achieve 1, 2, 3, 4, so that there's room for me to achieve, say, certain things at the latter part of my 20s, you know, or my 40s, as opposed to saying 21, 25, 28, 29, 30, would that be a better way to, because I do think that maybe there's a business case for putting timelines, right? So that you're also not complacent, you're also not just sitting there and thinking that things will happen on their own, but you work towards something and there's something that guides you towards a certain direction.
Yes, I agree with that. I think So I can only speak for myself
yes.
and how things have happened in my life and
Definitely.
How I work with clients.
Yeah.
I don't believe in age-related goals, again, because life happens, and then sometimes we put off something and we think it's going to happen in our 30s.
Yeah.
It happens in our 20s.
Yeah.
So that's like not really a thing. But
yeah.
I think have a vision for your life and then write that vision down.
Yes.
I remember when I was in my 20s, the best thing that I ever did was I got a life coach.
Yeah.
One of the things he said, the very first session, and I still have my list, he said, write a list of 50 things that you want to do in your lifetime before you die. And every year, review that list. And
yes.
I do review that list till now.
Sure.
And just think of the things that have happened.
Sure.
You know, it's not that you're literally going out of your way to say, by 20, this must have happened. By 30, this must have happened. Just sit down and reflect, what are the things that you want for your life?
Yeah.
And then if you're overly ambitious, go for 100.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I really only reached about 70 and then I started repeating certain things.
Yes.
But I go through that list, and then the idea is to cross off everything that you achieved that year at the end of every year and then make more things. So if you cross off 5, try to find another 5 more that you loved, and then just keep putting that on the list. And I find that that's how you figure out what it is that you want to do. So and the kind of life that you want to live.
Yeah.
Because to say by this age, it's also limiting the universe. There are things I thought I am going to become, and I'll start writing at 40.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Like, I'm going to have an incredible career.
Yes.
I'm going to be going to investment banking.
Yes.
I'm going to do investments. I'm going to do property.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go, and then I'm going to start writing, because, and that was my dream in my 20s. And that's what I had as the vision. Guess what? The thing that allowed me to become an investor was to become a writer.
Okay.
You know? So the way that things evolve is also not that. I almost want to say that is up to the universe. That is out of your control. But what you can do is getting those things done.
Mm.
So I found that sometimes when we do put an age to something, we really limit ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I used to think that, like, I would first, in my head, I remember, I laugh now because I tell people that I used to have this dream that I would graduate from UCT and then I would work for like 5 years, save enough money, quit my job and go traveling.
Mm.
Well, guess what? Like, I graduated from UCT, 6 months later, I was traveling.
Mm.
And I used to think I would travel for like maybe 3-4 years, come back and settle down. I've spent 20 years of my life just traveling, living in different countries, learning different languages. That's all I've done. And it hasn't evolved in the way that I had planned.
That you had
so
planned,
we all have goals and we think something will evolve in that way. What I just want to say to people is, if you want to achieve something, write down all the vision that you have for your life, and then have that list. Don't live by it. Don't say, this year, this is what I'm going to achieve. Because life will always shock you.
Yeah.
But just reviewing that every month, just looking at that 100 list, reading it, your mind is going to retain that.
Mm.
And then just go about living your life. And if you feel like you're closer to a certain goal on that list, you can definitely spend the year or the next month pursuing it. Because I certainly do that, and my clients certainly do that, and it is a game changer.
No, that's fantastic. I'm actually quite fascinated by the idea of ticking out a few things that you have put as plan for your life in your vision, right? And every time you achieve certain things, you write them off, but you replace them with another. So if you've written off and achieved 5, you must write 5 others as well. Doesn't that, in a way, you know, kind of get you into the proverbial red race of some sort?
No, not really.
Mm.
Because sometimes you're just like, I don't have anything.
Mm.
And that's okay. You're not just writing down things for the sake of writing down things.
Mm.
I mean, When I started this exercise, I was like, oh my God, I want to own a private jet. And then I was like, no, that's not even in my value system. I don't like, I'm like one of those true hippie people. I'm very much environmentally conscious. Like my conscience couldn't live with that. So like I have random things like grow a herb garden. I have things like write books, like write a book on this, collect manuscripts on this. It becomes very, very detailed. I really want people to go try to write 100 things that you want to achieve. It will be great. You'll get to 20 and you'll be like, fantastic. I know this because I have done this exercise with many people. And it takes them at least a month to figure out because we think we want big things. And then when you start writing all those things down and you just realize that, wait, I'm just like at 20 right now. So then that's when you'll start getting to, oh, I want to help my community. I want to mentor a student in this. It starts to become broader. And so the dreams are not all impossible dreams. Some of them are really, really simple, but you realize that because of the way you're living your life and you're all over the place, you're not zoning in on what it is that you truly want. Now, if it's an income goal, it's completely different, right? So would people then like, if your goal is income, then you focus on that on a daily basis. And if you want to make a certain amount by a certain time period, you can also write that down and then you would have to have a strategy for that. But if we're talking about the vision for your life, buy a house, and then you want to get more really, really focused on how that happens, then also, the next step to this exercise is, like I said, if you feel like there's a goal that you want to put your all into, then you focus on that. Then you go and you listen to, if you've never bought a house before, first time home buyer podcast, property podcast, you go talk to bankers. Now you're living into that vision.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, let's round it up then by going back to our case study then. My question would be, if I've got the money to commit to buying a house, for example, why should I wait for other things? It really doesn't make sense to me. I've got the money, I can commit to it right now. Isn't that supposed to be how we look at these things? Do I have the money right now? If I do, let me commit.
Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. But I think the way that she was talking about it, I understood her way, right? And her logic. Have you heard the term cash poor but house rich? I think
Ooh,
it's
okay.
how it goes. I think that's what it is, which means that so much of your money at a particular age is going towards the house. So many people, so this brings us back to buying your dream home, right? Many people, when they buy their home, are not aware that like you're also having to pay rates and taxes. They just calculate the mortgage, right? But there's rates and taxes. Now you also have to insure your house. So you pay for insurance. You have to insure the contents of the house. So you're paying for short-term insurance. Then like, there's all other things you need to put aside 10% a month you're paying on the mortgage just for yourself, for maintenance, for upkeep of the house, painting the house, doing things with the house. Then there's furniture. So if you're moving, you've never had furniture before, or maybe you're going from a one bedroom to a three bedroom house, suddenly you need more money for furniture. So all these are additional costs. So most people, when they haven't saved up enough to buy the house, you end up having so many expenses with owning the house. Like I said, with rates and taxes, now you're paying for plumbers. There's no landlord to call. Like now that I'm in my apartment, I'm like renting because I'm abroad, right? Like I'm Airbnb-ing and then I just call someone. I found myself yesterday, I was like, I think that's a leak. I need to call whoever's in charge of this place. I was like, oh God, I'm living in one of my own apartments this
You
time.
can't do
I am the person to call.
that.
So you're literally all those are expenses. And what ends up happening with a lot of people, especially when you're just starting out, is now a lot of your money is sunk in that house, in the house. And the house is a fixed asset.
Yeah.
So now so much more is going in than what you had originally planned, which was the mortgage.
Yeah.
And when interest rates go up, suddenly you're paying more as well.
Yeah.
So I get where she was coming from with that, that now the house is actually taking away from you.
Yes.
But if you're going to invest, you would have, and you waited, say, 5 years, all that money that you would be putting into the house, you could invest it and then take out some of the some of your investment capital and return on investment, or maybe even just have your return on investment and then use that. So, for example, instead of paying 5,000 rand in mortgage and levies, etc., you're just paying rent for the first 5 years. And so what you'd be paying in levies and plumbers and all that, you then put away about 3,000-4,000 rand a year for about 5 years.
Yeah.
You now have enough money that is, you have now got a base capital that you've invested. You can take out the interest and take out your return on investment from that capital and use it as a down payment for the house.
Definitely.
So now, even if the house is taking a lot from you, you've already got some kind of investments and retirement savings and something. And it's not so much of a strain because, wow, you've got capital that's invested, and then that interest that comes through from those investments can also help with additional things, with additional expenses from the house.
Makes sense. Okay. All right. So I suppose the takeaway is there's no pressure. Don't put your pressure on yourself to say by 30, by this. Those are societal norms. Things are different for everyone. Different strokes for different people, as they would normally say. Just have a vision, write it down, you know, and just give yourself grace and time. Some of those things, you'll be able to achieve them. As you achieve them, tick them off, celebrate them if need be. Go to Cape Town or wherever and just have some time out to yourself and say, I've done this and yes, I've done it. I think that's how we should approach it, as opposed to putting ourselves under pressure age-wise, and also keeping up, trying to keep up with everyone else who's achieving certain things at certain ages, I suppose.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think just run your race, hey? Like, I feel like that's what we should all be aiming for. Just understanding our values, understanding the vision that we have for our lives, and then running our race. And as one of my coaches says, just calling in like high frequency magic in the process.
Makes sense. Well, thank you so much, Rev, for that. Really appreciate you, and love your insights as always. May God continue to bless you and your work.
Thank you so much, Thapelo. Have a fantastic Sunday further.
Thank you so much. You and I must talk. I must get the book when I come down there to Cape Town. I still want to do that.
No, definitely get it. I think I'll be in Cape Town for December.
For December, okay.
So yeah, definitely.
All right, definitely. Thank
I
you.
I leave for Ecuador soon.
Yes, definitely. All right, no, have a good one and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much there. That was, of course, Usisi Vangile Makwakwa talking to us about, age-related financial goals and why those might be, we must find the proper context to these things, right? We find the proper context to it. Don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Just run your own race and things will fall into place.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.